We are starting from the middle of Chav Beis and Mubeis. We got till Shimon Hatzeimani Omer Af Ah Dever. Just to go back for a minute to the Mishnah that started the parak off. So the Mishnah on the top of Yud Tes of the Aleph. So we quoted Shimon Hatzeimani, who says Af Ah Dever Lo Af Ah Dever, that you would even for Dever, for pestilence, you would Masrin on Shabbos. Whatever Masrin means, again, doesn't mean to cry out, doesn't mean to blow shofar. Here it means to cry out, I assume, because we don't blow shofar on Shabbos. So even for Dever, for pestilence, Shimon HaTimani says you should cry out. And we said in the Mishnah that the Chachamim didn't agree to his suggestion. So now we're at the Gemara over there. Again, it's approximately 13 lines from the bottom of the page. Shimon HaTimani Omer Afal HaDever. Iboilhu, the question was asked regarding the Rabbanan's opinion. Lo hodulo chachamim b'Shabbos? Lo b'chol hodulo? Do the chachamim not agree with him to be masriyan on Shabbos, but weekdays they would agree? Odilma lo hodulo klal, or maybe you'll tell me they don't agree at all. Even weekdays, they would say you should not be masriyan on Dever. Where it says, Tashma, the time when Abraisa masriyan ala Dever b'Shabbos, vein tarachon or b'chol, which means that we, again, this is Shimon HaTimani's opinion, that we are masriyan on Dever on Shabbos. And of course, I have to tell you, on a weekday, certainly, we'd be masriyan as well. Chanan ben Pitum, Hamidash Rabbi Akiva, Mishim Rabbi Akiva, Omer, E masriyan al Dever kol ikr. Means we do not al Dever. We do not do masriyan. We do not cry out regarding Dever at all. Now, this is a little bit difficult, but so therefore we see over here the Psak Halacha is that the Chacham argue with him entirely, not only regarding Shabbos, but throughout the entire year as well. Just as an aside, it's not so pashut because we know in the Mishnah earlier we had quoted that for Dever we do fast. So we can do mechad between masriyan and whatever masriyan means an extra level. Versus fasting, if they some sort of heat like that. But certainly we know already for pestilence, wherever however we define pestilence, Dever, we do fast. Regarding whether you're masriyan or not, we see clearly over here, machlokes whether you're masriyan or not every single day. Meaning here we said every day, definitely not, you know, according to the Rabbi, it would be on Shabbos. And we said we don't agree with that, which means not at all. We might still be masriyan on Monday and Thursday. We said earlier on the cycle of fast that Dever would be part of. We would not agree to be on any given day. Forget about Shabbos only. Definitely not Shabbos, come and say, but not even on other days out besides Monday and Thursday. So you had to understand this line. Yeah, Ron, what do you got?
What is Aleph Sadi Lama stand for?
The Ein Sarich Lomar. Meaning, I don't need to tell you. Meaning, it's obvious. Bechol. If you're masriyan for Shabbos, of course you're masriyan bichol. Okay, that brings me to the two dots. We're starting right now from the two dots about 11 lines from the bottom of Chav Beis and Mubeis. Starting from the words, Al Kol Tzarech Lo Tavo, Al Atzibur Bechule. Mentioned before, again, that we're trying. Question. Yeah, sorry, Aaron, what do you got?
So we just end that piece with a machlokas. Either you say it for on Shabbos and weekdays, or you don't say it at all.
We mean that Shimon HaTeimani says you say Shabbos and weekdays you're masriyan, and the Chavim would argue completely with that. Now, what does it mean completely? We know in the Mishnah we already quoted that they do fast and they do cry out for Dever on Mondays and Thursdays. We have the cycle that we said earlier that on Mondays, Thursdays, Mondays, you know, for seven times in a row, maybe even we'll do a fast. But when it says over here Kol Ikr means not other than that. Not only on Shabbos do we not do it, but other than the typical standard Monday, Thursday, Monday type of fasting, we're not going to do any extra for Dever. So when they say they argue on him completely, means they argue completely. Not only they argue about Shabbos with him, they argue about Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday with him as well.
But isn't that just Rav Chanan?
So Rav Chanan over here is quoting the opinion that argues on him. We already saw in the Mishnah the Chum argument. We just know what the Chum said. So now we're saying the Mishnah here that we're quoting is the Chum's opinion. And they were arguing on him entirely regarding
the Braisa we quoted, though, right above that, that's saying that it agrees with him, right?
We were asking, no, the Tanakhama would be him. The Tanakhama would be him. That's his Shita. That's his Shita. And we see over here the people who argue on him would argue on him completely. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean they don't say you do anything ever. It means they don't stray at all from Monday, Thursday. Not only on Shabbos they not do it, they don't do it on Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Friday either, meaning they completely stick to Monday, Thursday. They don't do anything different for Dever than Monday, Thursdays. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Says the Gemara again that regarding any tzara that should not come our way, shlo tavo, it should not come our way, and tzibur, we will also go through a process of masrin. Tan rabbanim al kol tsar shel tavo al tzibur masrin alaya. We quote from our Mishnah regarding any other calamity that should not come on the tzibur. We'll daven. We'll cry out that it shouldn't come. Chutz mirov gisham, except for lots of rain. Again, this is not a life-threatening lots of rain. It's more of a uncomfortable lots of rain. You know, again, not flooding that causes people to lose their lives, but it may cause people to have damage in their homes, let's say. My time, well, why would it be that we would not be masriyin for such a level of tzara? Rabbi Yochanan, l'fitcha emis palam al rov hatova. Because rainfall is definition of good. Now, it's true, too much rainfall might not be good. We're not, and we'll see very soon that we'll see discussion come up again, whether or not this is completely true. But in general, we do not want to daven to stop tova. Even though abundant tova may not be good, we're not in the habit of being masriyin for too much good. Remember Yochanan, minayin she mispal al rov tova. How do we know we're not mispal al rov tova? Shneimar aviyu et kol maser el beis haotzer. It says bring in all of your tithing to the storehouse when it was raining. And Hashem says, I will open up my gates of heavens, ad b'li dai. What does it mean, ad b'li dai? My ad b'li dai, says the Gemara. Rabbi Barav, ad, or Barav Chama, ad yivlu sisosechem milomar dai. Ad b'li dai, the word b'li is like the word yivlu. Yivlu means to be worn out. Your lips are going to be worn out by saying, okay, enough. You know, it's, you got, I have plenty, meaning that Hashem is going to shower us, and we're told take everything in to the storehouses, protect it, because you don't want to tell Hashem to stop, you know, to stop giving you plenty of things that are good. We don't want to ask for Hashem to stop the goodness. We'll see though; it's not so simple. Says the Gemara, Rami Bar Rav Yud, his name, Ubagola Masriyin Aleh. But in Golus, we do actually cry out for too much rain. The reason why Rashi points out over here, we said this earlier on, if you remember, like by Bavel, since it's on a lower land, when rain comes from the top and it flows to the bottom, it is dangerous. That could actually create death. And the flooding is not just monetary. It could even be worse than that. And therefore, in those cases, we would, in fact, daven that it should stop. It's not just uncomfortable. It's more than that. Yeah, Uriel, what do you got?
Does Gola always refer to Bavel?
Not always. Rashi over here tells us Bavel, but Golo could be anywhere outside of Eretz Yisrael. But Rashi over here singles out Bavel due to its location as being kind of the lower, like in a valley-like setting. Okay, now we have a support to this idea as well. We have a teaching as well that supports this. Shana shegishameh merubin, when you have a year when the rain is plenty. Anshe Mishmar Shochin La Anshe Mama, the Anshe Mishmar, which were again the Kohanim, that week's Kohen, we said there's 24 different sets of weeks worth of Kohen that do it twice a year. So that week's Kohen sends word to the Anshe Mama. Anshe Mama were the Levim and Yisraelim that kind of represented the Tzibur for the Korban Tamid, that represented the congregation at large. So that Anshe Mishmar tells the Anshe Mama, the people who are representing the Tzibur in the Beis Hamikdash Avoda for the week. They send word and they say to him, Tnu einechem ba'acheichem shebegola. Keep your eyes focused, meaning think about daven on behalf of your brethren that are in Galus, that are in Bavel. So you hey bateim kivrehem, that their home shouldn't be their final resting place. They shouldn't die in floods, which means daven for them, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should not bring too much rain. So we see the Anshe Mishmar telling the tzibur, representing the people representing the tzibur, called the Anshe Ma'amar, daven on behalf of your brothers in Chutzlarts for the rain that may be too abundant. You should daven because brothers should stop giving that amount of rain. So we see it's not so simple. We don't ask for too much. When too much good does come, might end up being bad, and then we will daven for it. But it's got to hit a certain level of danger, not stam uncomfortability. Okay. Shalos Rebbe Eliezer. Yeah, sorry. What do you got, Aaron?
Does that count if in Yerushalayim they're praying on behalf of Golis in Bavel? Does that, like, because then it would seem there that they are crying out.
We do. We mean, what do you mean? Who's crying out?
Meaning it says that the members of the Mishmar, right, and they're the ones in the Beis Hamikdash now.
What?
So they're the ones. So then in Israel they would be crying out. No.
They go. They say for, but not for themselves. For Bavel. I mean, in Israel, they'll
so, yeah, so is that, so I'm saying, so that doesn't count as them being Masrian themselves.
They are Masrian, but not for their own plenty. It's for someone else because it gets dangerous for everyone else. I mean, if in Eretz Israel, let's say in Bavel, the rainfall wasn't falling like that, and there's a lot of rainfall in Eretz Israel, it wouldn't cry out to stop. But in Bavel, if people in Eretz Israel also will cry people in Bavel because it becomes a dangerous point at that point in time. Okay. Shalos Rabbi Eliezer, Ahechan Gishavim Yordin Vizpalos Layardu. So let's ask the Rabbi asked the question, or they asked Rabbi Eliezer the question, how much rainfall would it have to get to where now people are going to start to daven for the people in Bavel, let's say, who are getting too much rain? So Amalem, today Shayamud Adam Bekeren Afel, Vishachshech Raglab B'mayim. So when a person would stand in a place called Keren Afel, which is a, according to Rashi, it's a very, it's a rock like a top of a cliff. It's a very high rock. And he could still rub his feet in the water, meaning the waters have been risen to a level where even someone on a very high location has rain that's built up, so much rain that he could splash his feet around in the waters. Vatanya Yadav, we taught it wasn't his feet, it was his hands. Yeah, Raglav Kiyadav Kamina. Yeah, hands, legs. The point is that you have easily accessible puddles or pools of water in your area where if you bend down, you can rub your hands in that water, or you stop your feet, you'll get drenched in the water that's building up there on a very high location. That's a siman that you can tell Hashem, this is way too much, and we should not be having greater rain than we have already. Yeah.
In the footnote here, it says that...
Rashi says over here, it means it never happens.
All right.
Rashi says over here, Amos Palin, means that it pointed at such a large, such like imagine, again, it's like when it hits the top of the mountain or whatever, so it doesn't hit that top ever. So according to Rashi's pointing out, I guess what you could put me in the footnote is that this is a very exaggerated level of rain accumulation that really means never. You never can get to the stage when you stop asking for rain. And just to explain to you how high up this location is, I'm Rabbi Bar Barchana, L'didi Chazili Keren Ofel. I saw. You know, I one time was I saw it. I was on this cliff or this rock called Keren Ofel, and I saw from my vantage point the Kamahu Taya Kirachiv Gamla, that a Taya, which is an Arab merchant stopped riding. Kirachiv, when he was riding on a camel, Kam stopped. Benaket Rumchav Yadei, he was holding his spear in his hand. Mischazi Iniva says Rashi looked like a worm. Meaning it was such so far up in the mountainous areas that when he looked down below at an Arab merchant riding a camel, and when he stopped for a second, he had his big spear in his hand, like he was holding a worm. That's how small it looked. So you see, really, it was really, really high up there. So he says like in a euphemistic way, oh yeah, sure, you should stop davening when that cliff says a lashon of when it gets to that point in time, that's when we're going to say it is too much and you should stop davening, which means really never. So you have to get along with the Gemara a little bit as to whether or not you ever stop davening. In Bavel, we mentioned they would say certainly when it gets bad, you should stop. In Eretz Yisrael, is really never a time we should be stopping. But it could be that for people in Bavel, when we hear about it, we should stop. We should have Hashem stop. The rainfall on account of those people. We're going to see very soon. We're going to quote a Gemara. That's a Gemara joke. Is it a Gemara joke? It's like it's a euphemism. It's a, I don't know if they call it a joke, but it's certainly an exaggeration, we'll call it. But again, we'll see very soon that the story we had quoted earlier in Mishnah by Choni Magel, the circle drawer, that we do know he does stop he's asking to stop for rain. We'll get to that point very soon in the Gemara. Yeah, Ron, what do you got?
What if it got to the point in Israel where it was like flooding and killing people?
So it sounds like over here that it will make sense to daven to stop, which we'll see Choni Amagel does very soon. We're going to get that very soon. But according to the opinion we just quoted, Rabbi Eliezer, you would never stop. But you're right. If there was actually a threat to people's lives, then it would make sense that we should stop. But he doesn't, again, he makes like a blanket assumption. It's never going to happen is what he's assuming. But for sure, if people were life was threatened, then it makes sense that it would, I imagine people would die before. Okay. Two lines from the bottom of the page. Son Rabbanan. Nasati gishmichem beitam. Lo, okay, so that's a pasuk. We say that in Shema. Hashem should give gishamim in their time. Which means what? It doesn't mean in their time. Lo shikora below tzmea. Not like a drunken, which means an over saturation. And not tzmea, which means not like thirsting. So what does it mean? Gishmichem beitam means a proper amount. Don't overdo it. Keep it to an average level. That's the amount of rain you're asking for in Shema. Nasati yishmichem beitam. You're asking for a regular amount of rainfall. And then we explain. If you have too much rain, it makes the land very muddy. It's not going to properly give forth produce. Now, davar acher, another way to explain the pasuk of nasati yishmichem beitam. What does it mean? Beitam. Beitam means b'leili revios b'leili shabbosos. It means let Hashem bring the rain in the right time. What's the right time? The right time is Friday night and Wednesday night. Or maybe it's Tuesday night. It's Tuesday night, like Wednesday at nighttime. But maybe it means Tuesday night, really. So what does that mean? Why is this the right time? So Rashi over here explains that the reason why Friday night's not a problem is because we're usually not traveling. We're in our house for Shabbos. And how about Wednesday night or Tuesday night, would you say? Why is that the right time? So according to Rashi, it's based on Masechet Pesachim, which hopefully you'll all be able to be part of next year. Mitzvah Shem. In the last paragraph of Pesachim, it describes there was a shade. There was this spiritual demon called Igras Bas Machlas. Rashi quotes over here. Whatever the shade was, that would do damage on Tuesday nights. It was out and about. People would stay home Tuesday. They wouldn't want to be out in the streets Tuesday night. So therefore, that would be a great time for it to rain. Again, Tuesday means really Tuesday after nightfall, which means we call it Wednesday at nighttime because it's Wednesday the night Yom Revi at nighttime, not Wednesday Yom Revi at nighttime. Okay, then we say, by the way, that amount of rain is going to be fine if it rains twice at nighttime, twice a week at nighttime. Those times you can bet it's going to be fine. Shkimatzino b'yemei Shimon Mechetach. We found that in the time of Shimon Mechetach, shiyardu lehem gishamim b'leili revios b'leili shabbos. So that Dafka, the rainfalls in his time would be Yom Revi at nighttime and on Shabbos nighttime. But it was the rain was so helpful and it was so healthy. Achnasu chitim kiklayot, that the wheat grains were as big as kidneys. Usaorim kigarine zesim, and the barley grain was as big as the size of olive pits. Vadashim kidiner zav, and the lentils were as the size of these dinar zav coins, which was very big. I mean, such large growth happened from only rainfall twice a week of these nights, and it was so great. The tsaru mehem dugmal doros. They kind of collected them and they gathered them together as an example for the future generations. Leodia kama hachet gorim, to let everyone know in the future how much damage your sins do. Meaning, you see what it should be like if it rained even only twice a week. What it should be like if Hashem blessed our produce and our agriculture. And if it does not happen that way, it's because Hashem is not blessing us, probably due to our behavior not being up to par. Shemar, it says in the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Avonoseichem hatu eila, your sins have caused these to move away, to be swayed. V'chataseichem manu atov mikem, and your crimes have prevented good from coming to you. So we see what was like in regular amounts of rain, twice a week only, how much produce, how big these produce would get. So, and we kept them there so you can see what could happen when Hashem is feeling the love from you. And therefore, if it doesn't happen that way, if you're not growing like that, it's probably because Hashem's not feeling the love from you. And therefore, it's a rebuke to Klal Yisrael for not doing their job properly. We find a similar level of extra growth. Hurdus, we know what was according to Rashi tells of it as well, that in the second base of Mikdash, he really rebuilt it to a very, very beautiful way. So you oske in the binyan base of Mikdash. They were busy with the binyan base of Mikdash Hasheni, building it and supporting it and making it more beautiful. Like Yorda Gisham Balaila, the rain would fall dafka at nighttime when they weren't working on it. And Lamachar Nazba Ruach, the next morning the wind would blow, Nispazra Abim, and the clouds would be scattered away, would go away. Zarcha Chama, and the sun would come out. And the nation could go out and they could work without having the concerns of being caught in a downpour. They realized that Hashem was helping them. Hashem was supporting their malacha in their hands. So therefore, we have this idea again that we can see from how the rainfall, how the produce is, whether Hashem finds our actions to be tasteful or Hashem the opposite. Okay, so that over here is again just a recap of what we did, and understanding a little bit more about too much rain, not enough rain, how much rain would be sufficient, what does it mean that Hashem will bring Gishmeichem v'itam? Is it referring to the amount of rain that falls, referring to when the rain falls? We've shown a different example. We're now going to quote a line that we had quoted earlier, discussed earlier. It's going to be very similar to the quote we had with a few differences, but most of the same, about the famous Choni Hamagel story. Reminder, again, Choni Hamagel was, the Gemara will describe right now. Yeah, sorry, who has a question? Anybody? No. Okay. Choni Hamagel, we know, was a person who davened the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he drew the circle around. We're going to see the story right now in a little more detail. Right now, I'm going to diffuse it. That's beautiful. Okay, very nice. Thank you for showing me. Maybe at the end you can show me more, okay? In the meantime, get out of here, girl. Get go. Okay, bye. Anyways, says the Gemara. Tan Rabban. Again, we're about 13 lines from the top of the page. Pam achas yatza ruv adar lo yardu gushavim. One time, most of the month of Adar had already been completed, and rain had yet to fall, yet to start falling at that point in time. Shalchu l'choni amagyal hispalo v'yardu gushamim. So they sent Choni Amagyal, who was known to be someone who had, who was a big tzaddik and had koach tefillah. They said, daven for us, so rain should come. Hispalo v'yardu gushamim, but he davened and it didn't work. So ag uga, he drew a circle, he dug a circle in the ground. V'amar b'socha. V'amar b'socha, and he stood inside the circle. K'derav sh'asa chavakuk ha'navi. Like Chavakuk HaNavi said as well, when Hashem was sending bad things to Bnei Israel, he wanted to understand where it was coming from, and he did the following. Shemar says about Chavakuk, Al Mishmarti Amda, I will stand on my watch, V'yisyatzva Al Matsur, and I will stay by my post until you tell me, Chavakuk said to Hashem, until you explain to me why these bad things are happening to Klal Yisrael. So in that vein, Choni Amagel did the same thing. Amar Lefanav, Ribono Sholom, Banecha Samu Pneiem Alai. Your children, but Israel has placed their faces towards me. They've put their trust in me. Shanika ben bayis lefanecha. Not that I'm a big tzaddik, but I'm a ben bayis by you. I come to you often, and they know that you respond to me. Nishbani b'shmecha hagadol. I promise in your great name. Sheini zaz mikam ad shetarachem abanecha. I will not leave here until you have mercy on your sons. And we know he's chilug sham minatfin. So the rain begins to drip. A little drizzle. Amru lo talmidav. His students say to him, Rebbe, Reinucha v'lanamus, we want to see you again. We don't want to die. Meaning, we want to be able to survive this drought. And this amount of rain is not going to cut it for us. Don't give up. Because kimedumen anu, it seems to us, she'en gesham yordin el latir shuasecha. Shuascha, that the only reason why the rain is falling the way it is to patter you from to make you leave, allow you to leave the circle. You're Hashem is saying, you're yotzei, quote unquote. You can leave now. I've given a little bit of rainfall, so you can, you're yotzei now, and you can walk out of the circle. But it's not enough for us. We're not going to survive. So don't give up. Don't stop. Amar, so Choni says back, lo kach sha'alti. He's back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not what I asked for, a little drizzle. El gishmei boros shichin ma'aros. I wanted to have rain that's going to fill the water holes and the ditches and the caves. I want real rain. So yardu b'zaf. It started to have torrential downpour. That every single drop that fell was like the size, it's an exaggeration, sounds like the size of the opening of a barrel. And the Chavim were able to estimated that not one drop contained less than an entire lug of water. Meaning it was not only was a torrential downpour, but the drops were huge. Tremendous flood coming. So the students said back to Choni Hamagel, Rebbe, Reinucha v'lanamus, we want to see you again. We don't want to die. Meaning, if it falls like this for much longer, we're not going to survive this either. We want to be able to spend time and still see you. We don't want to die through this. Meaning, you got to die for something to change. Kimaduman anu, it seems to us, the student said, Choni Hamagel, she'en gesham yordim el la'avid ha'olam. It seems like Hashem's bringing the rain now to destroy the entire world. Amar lefanav, so Choni says back to Kodesh Baruch Hu, lo kach sha'alti, I didn't ask for this type of rain. Ela gishmei ratzon bracha u'nadava. I asked for rain that was from, willingly given by you to us. Blessing and gifts of rain. Yarda kitiknan. And it started to fall then appropriately. But even then it didn't stop. But everyone, it was such a consistent rain, appropriate, but consistent. It didn't stop. And that the whole nation, Kol Ha'am, had to go to Har HaBayis, based in the English area, to be protected because it was on Aliyah LeRegel. It was on high and was able to be protected from the constant downpour. Negishon. Amlo Rebbe. They now say to Rebbe Chonya Magal, Rebbe, Krim Shis Palalta, Shiyardu, Kach Yispalo, Yelchu. Yelchu Lehem. Just like he davened that the rain should come, now daven the rain should go. Again, here we see this idea we quoted earlier, that when there's a lot of rainfall, and to answer Anan's question, when there's a lot of rainfall, so in fact, we're going to daven, Uriel's question, we're going to daven that it should stop. Amalehem, so Chani Baba says back to them, what do you mean? Kach bekublani, is my Masorah that I have, he says, my tradition is, Sheim is problem, Roba Tova, that I should not daven when something is too much of a good thing. I'm not going to tell it to stop what we quoted earlier on. But Afal Pichein, even though that's my Masorah, nevertheless, if you leave par hoda, I want you to bring a korban, a par hoda. And again, what this hoda means, according to Rashi, it means like a vidu, like a confession, confessing your sins. Or another option could be hoda, like a korban toda. You want to give a thanks offering to Hashem for answering our tefillos. Whatever it is, bring a korban for me. If you lo par hoda, they brought him one. Samach shtei yadav alav, he placed both of his hands in the korban. The nation that you took out of Mitzrayim is not able. La'amod is the word that the Bach adds in. They can't take this. Lo Baruch Tov, they can't take too much good. Lo Baruch Tov, they can't take too much bad. You may be upset with them, but la'amod. They can't stand. They can't take your fury. When you give them good things. They can't take too much good things either. Meaning we gotta treat them gently. Yiratzim l'fanecha, to be your real God, the rain should stop, and there should be revach in the world, there should be peace and plenty in the world. And immediately upon his tefillah, miyad nishba aruach, nispazru avin, bezarcha achama. Immediately the wind came and blew away the clouds, and the sun came and shone. The Yatsua Am Lasada and the nation came out to the fields. The Vulahem Kmehina Pitros. They found mushrooms and truffles. They see that there was growth already starting from the rain. They realized it was Gishmei Bracha, it was rain that was good for them. And that was the happy ending of Choni Amago. However, what he did was risky. Shalcho Shum Mechedach. Shum Mechedach sends word to Choni Amago. Ilmali Choni Ata. If you were not the person that you are, Choni Amago goes running Alecha Nidui. I would have decreed that you should be excommunicated from the tzibur. Lo od ella, he has the word, lo od ella, he has in the word, said the word she'ilu. Shanim kishnei Eliyahu. Not only that, but if this were the years, like Eliyahu Navi's time, shemit pachos gishamim biyadosh Eliyahu, that Eliyahu held the keys of Geshem in his hands, where he told the tzibur, the Klal Yisrael, that it will not rain until he says it will rain. We had that earlier on in the Gemara as well. Lo nimsa shem shemayim mischal ayetcha. Would we not find that because of you, there is a Hashem is disgraced in the world. He's been disgraced. Why? Because imagine, let's say Eliyahu Navi said that the rain shouldn't fall, and you said, I'm not leaving here till it does fall. So someone's going to have to be compromised. So when you make your circle and you stand in the middle, for all you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu had a different reason why he wasn't bringing rain, and you're going to create either that reason not to exist, or you're going to lose. Hashem's not going to answer your tefillah either. And either way, there's going to be shame shemayim. That's disgrace. Through your demands. And therefore, I should put you in excommunication. Excommunicate you. What can I do? You have done things, you behaved in a way that you shouldn't have in front of Hashem. But he did what you wanted anyways. He listened to you. Like a child who behaves inappropriately with his father. But his father still listens to him. For example, Omer lo Abba, holy chedi the rachzedi b'chamin. Dad, take me and bathe me in warm water. Shatfedi b'tzoni, and then wash me off in cold water. Tein li egozim, shkedim afrasekim v'ronim. Give me nuts, almonds, peaches, and pomegranates. I mean, demand after demand after demand. You imagine the father said to the son, enough out of you already. But that's not what happens. But no sin lo, instead the father gives the son what he wants because the father loves their sons very much. Va'alecha because of Omer and regarding you, again, Choli Magal is still being talked to by Shem Ben Shetach, but regarding you, the pasuk says, Yismach avicha ve'imecha v'sakel yilavetecha, that your father and mother rejoice over you, and the one who bore you will delight over you as well. So we see over here, I should excommunicate you. What can I do? Because Baruch Hu loves you so much, so I'm not going to, I can't do anything to you either. Okay, back in the Gemara. Says the Gemara further. Tan Rabbanan. Ma shalchu b'nei lishkas ha-gazes l'choni maga. What was the response, the reaction of the lishkas ha-gazes, which Rashi tells here means the Sanhedrin? How does Sanhedrin react to what Choni Magal did? So they quoted the following pasuk, a few pasukim we'll quote right now. The Sigzar Omer B'yakum L'cha V'adrachecha Noga Ur. That's part one of the pasuk, which means that you said a decree and it stood for you. And through your way, light shone. What does that mean? We're going to quote each part now. Tigzora Omer Atag, which means you have decreed, you stated a decree. Atag Azarta Milamata Kaz Baruch Hu Mikayim Mamarecha Milamala. You've made a decree from below, and Hashem has heard you and became it from above, brought rainfall from above. The next part of the passage recording now, V'adrachecha no ga'or, through your path, light has shone, means dor, shaya afel, the generation that was cloudy, that was darkened, he'arta b'tfilasecha, you've enlightened them, like the word or, with your tefillos. What's the next part of the passage? This is what the Sanhedrin said to Choni Magal, this beautiful psukim from Eov, to explain how Choni benefited everyone so much in his tefillos. Kishpilu batomer gava. When they were lowered and you said no, become uplifted. Dor shaya shafel. That's the pasuk ends with the word gava. Dor shaya shafel. The door that was lowly. Higbaso b'tfilas echa. You raised them with your davening. And the pasuk goes on. V'shach einayim yoshia, which means the downcast eyes will be saved. Dor shashach b'avono, the generation that were downcast through their sins, you've saved them with your davening. Yimaleit inaki, the next part of the pasuk, which means escape the one who is not innocent, who is not clean. Dor shlohayadaki, the generation that was not clean, milatato b'tfilasecha, they've escaped due to your davening, to your tefillah. And the pasuk goes on and says, v'nimlat b'bor kapecha, which means they should escape with purity of your hands. What does it mean? Latasob Masayedecha Burin, that they've escaped due to your clear and pure actions and behaviors. So that's the story we have with Choni Magal, part one story. Yeah, Aaron, what do you got?
How could there be such a different way of viewing it from that guy who was kind of like, why you shouldn't have done that, versus Sanhedrin who was like all about that. Also, didn't they also send for him? Like, it wasn't...
Well, not Sanhedrin. His, Talmidim, the people did, individuals did. But Sanhedrin, they said, daven for us. But the way he davened by saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you don't stop, I'm not moving from here, that was already a level of that created danger. Meaning, you can daven someone, or you could say to Hashem, I'm not leaving here until you answer me. So someone's going to be embarrassed. Either Hashem's decree made would have been ignored, or you're going to embarrass yourself by showing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't listen to your tefillos, which is also bad. Either way, it's a risky move. So they asked him to daven, but not to this extent. I guess the answer would be, to answer the other question you asked, it depends on, you look at the sum total of the product that happened. It's like, the end justify the means or not? So look at the means. The means are great. Sorry, the ends. The ends are great. The means were risky. The means were questionable. So do we say end justify the means or not? So the Lishkas HaGaz and Hedrin was very happy with the results. Shem Ben Shetach was disappointed with the process. Now, in the end, it worked out okay, but he said, listen, what you did was very risky, and it carried a lot of challenges alongside it. I'm not sure it was the best idea to do. Okay. Gemara, though, has one more story of Choni Magal, and then we'll stop. It's a famous story in English. It's called Rip Van Winkle. Maybe you heard it beforehand, Rip Van Winkle, but it's actually found in the Gemara in Tinus. They stole it from us. They stole it from us. It says the Gemara as follows. Look inside. Whenever you tell your children one day a biblical story, you can tell them this Choni Magal story. That's really where it's from. It says the Gemara, Amar B'Yochanan. We get on about 15 lines from the bottom of the page. Tav Chav Gimel and Aleph, Amar B'Yochanan. Klo Yamav Shal Oso Tzadik Hayem Itztar Amek Rezeh. This Tzadik, Choni Magal, his whole life, he was worried about the following pasuk bothered him. Shir HaMalos, V'shuv HaShem Etz Shiva Sion Hayu Kechomim. We say this in Shabbos. We say this in different holidays. Shir HaMalos, a song on high, of ascent. B'shu Hashem v'shiva Sion. When Hashem brings us back to Zion, to Sion, when Rashi Rish is referring to Migdal, to the Gullus of Babel, which lasted for 70 years. Hayu Kechomim, it's like we were dreaming. It's like we dreamed those 70 years. Like, you know, it was unbelievable. That it was like one quick dream that we were in Gullus, and now we're back again. Who would say you could nayim sleep? Who would say you could sleep for 70 years and dream? No one has sleep for 70 years and dreams. So that's what he thought, at least. Yom achad havi azel b'orcha, one day he was going about his business. Chazil hu gavra d'havi nata charuva. He saw a guy planting a carob tree. Amrlei. Choni magos says, this guy, hai ad kama shnin tayin. This tree, how many years until it bears fruit? Amrlei ad shivin shnin, 7 years. Amrlei, shitu l'cha d'chayes shivin shnin. Are you so certain you're going to live for 70 years to see this tree bear fruit? Amrlei, and again, the word high gavra here is taken out of the Bach, but Amrlei, this man said back, Alma b'charuva ashkacha. It's a beautiful idea. I found the world with this, with a carob tree in it. Just like my ancestors planted one for me. I'm going to plant for my descendants as well, for my children as well. Meaning, I found the world this way. I use the fruit. I should pay it forward to the next generation or the one after that to be able to enjoy the fruits that I've enjoyed in my lifetime. Beautiful idea. Yasiv kakarach rifta. So Choni Magal is sitting down. He's eating bread. Asale shinsa. He starts to get very tired. Nim. He falls asleep. Ahadrule mishunisa. So this mishunisa is like a rock. A rock kind of grew out in front of him. Ahadrule went back. It went back and grew in front of him. Ichse me'ena. And it covered him from people seeing. Basically, he was like kind of covered up by the rock. No one could notice that he was there anymore. V'nim shivin shnin, he slept for 70 years. Rip Van Winkle story. He come when he woke up. Chazila hu gadra. That would come a lachim minayu. He saw the same man gathering the fruit of that carob tree. Amrlei said, at who this shall tell say? Are you the one that planted this tree? Amrlei bar brei on him. No, I'm the grandson. The grandson of that guy. Amrlei, shvamina, deny me shivin shnin. It must be that I fell asleep for 70 years. Chaz l'chamri, he saw his own donkey that he had remembered back in the day, this Yalida le Ramchi Ramchi. It had given birth to children, and those children gave birth to their own children. I mean, he saw that his own cattle that he had in his property, we went to check it out, they had had so many generations already, two generations already had grown of his animals. He knew for sure he had been sleeping for a very long time, in multiple generations that had grown away from the animals that he had owned. Azul Abese, he went back to his house. And Amar Lahu braid the Choni Amagel Mikayim. He said to the knock on the door, he says, is the son of Choni Amagel still alive? Amrule Bray Lesa. Barbara Isa. The son is not alive, but the grandson is alive. Amar Lahu said back. He said to them, Ani Choni Amagel. I am me. It's me. It's me, Choni Amagel. Lo Heminuhu. They don't believe him, obviously. Azul Basin Madras. What is the Basin Madras? Sham Indul Rabban de Kaamri. You heard Rabban talking and learning and saying, Nihirin Shmaisasin Kibishani Choni Amagel. This Torah teaching is so clear to me, like in the years of Choni Magal, was a big time Chacham, he was able to explain things clearly, and they said, oh, this is just like it was in Choni Magal's days, it's so clear. That when people go to the Beis Medrash of Choni Magal's time, any question that they had, Rabbanan would mefarik, they would answer them. Amalu said to them, Ana Niyu, I'm me, it's me, it's Choni Magal, I'm back. Loi Menuhu, they didn't believe him. They didn't give him respect like Choni Magal deserved. He became very depressed. He asked Hashem, please take me from the world, and he died. Rava says, that's what people say in the words, O Harusa, O Masusa. Either you have Harusa, you have someone to partner with, O Masusa, or take me, or kill me instead. You need to have friends, social life, it's important to have. About to lose you right now. Want to come back on, just to say this part outside, we can give a conclusion. We'll stop over here, but if you want to come back on just for a last minute wrap up, we can do that as well.